Support for the Weird Homes podcast comes from the Austin Energy Solar Education and Rebate Program, providing solar rebates and education for Austin residents and giving you the knowledge you need to have a positive solar shopping experience. If you've been thinking about going solar, now through August, you can earn the most from your Austin Energy Solar Rebate, a total of $3,500. Learn more at austinenergy.com/go/solar101.
Hi, this is David J. Neff, and you're listening to the Weird Homes Podcast. Have you ever walked through your neighborhood, taken a look at a strange or weird home, and wondered, who lives there? What's inside of that home? Well, I think as human beings, we've all have done that. And that's what this podcast is all about, is to explore the weird and strange world of the people who live in those homes. Hey, everybody. This is David J. Neff with the Weird Homes Tour Podcast. And today I'm here with two of our favorite new homeowners for the tour here from Austin, Texas. So why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hello there. My name is Randy Robertson, and I'm one of the owners of the OMG house on the Austin Weird Homes Tour.
Hello. My name is Sandy Robertson, and I'm married to Randy Robertson, and I'm one of the homeowners on the tour as well in the same home.
Great. Thank you guys for both being here. We'll get to the OMG house, but I want to talk a lot today about what led us to the OMG house. Was there a weird house before? Will there be a weird house after? We'll talk about all sorts of stuff today. But Sandy, why don't we start with you? Tell me, where'd you grow up and kind of a little bit about your childhood?
Okay. I was born in Pomona, California. And I was there until I was 9 years old. I was born in 57, and my dad was a mechanical engineer. And we moved to Houston in 1966 because he was on a team of engineers to build the heating unit for the lunar module.
Wow.
So I'm a NASA brat and two brothers. And then I lived in Houston in the Clear Lake area until 74 is when I arrived in Austin.
And what made you come to Austin?
My mom divorced my dad, and I came with her.
They said, no more NASA. We're out of Houston. We're going to Austin.
She's a NASA widow, and we're NASA brats.
And then, Randy, tell me a little bit about where you were born and how you meandered your way to Austin, Texas.
I was born in College Station, Texas.
Ah.
and my dad was a big Aggie, played football, basketball, baseball. And so that's where I was born. After he graduated with his degree in petroleum engineering and one in business, he got into the offshore oil drilling business. I lived in 8 countries around the world growing up. And the first country I lived in was Lagos, Nigeria in West Africa. And I learned what reverse, being a minority was.
Yeah.
Because there were not very many Caucasian people there, but there was at least 6 or 7 million Africans living there at the time, and it was quite an education. So then my dad got a contract to study icebergs, and so I moved to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and lived there for a couple of years. Moved briefly to Palos Verdes Peninsula in Southern California, only for like 6 months, and then ended up living in Bogota, Colombia. A couple of years there, started to learn how to speak Spanish and moved to Buenos Aires, Argentina. After Buenos Aires, we moved to Italy. And I live in southern Italy in the town of Taranto.
Wow.
And then I moved to the island of Malta. And you'll notice when you come to my house, my collection of things are from all over the world there.
Tell me which of those countries you think influenced you the most? Like, what country did you take the most in of the culture or the people or the music or anything like that? Or is it all kind of a mix?
It's a big mix, but there are some. I was introduced to West African rhythm when I was a very young child. And the djembe music and drum circles that we have here in Austin, that came directly from those tribal people over there. And I got firsthand lessons from those guys back in that day.
And then tell me, so how did you get to Austin?
When it was time for me to go to high school, my dad insisted that I go to high school in the United States. And I moved to Villa Park, California. I went to high school there, and then soon after high school, the whole family came back to Texas. I went to work on an offshore drilling ship and worked offshore for about 3 years, and I finally got hurt out there. So at that point, I said, I probably ought to go to college, and I ended up getting a scholarship to Blinn Junior College in Brenham, Texas.
Yeah.
To play guitar in their jazz band. And so I played there for 2 years and then ended up going to North Texas State University School of Music in Denton, Texas. Ended up living in Denton for 26 years.
Oh, wow.
Austin had always called my name for music, and finally I decided I'm moving to Austin and came here probably 2010.
We'll get to how you two met in a second, because I'm sure that's an interesting story. But I noticed something here, right? Kind of engineering dad moving around, studying icebergs, NASA dad building, you know, units that are going on lunar modules. So it sounds like some engineering floating in the background.
Sure.
But yet when I go to your house, I see this like absolute explosion of color and collections and really interesting creative things. So talk to me a little bit about, like, growing up, were you collecting, painting, like, how are you, you know, expressing yourself creatively?
Well, growing up, my mother was the decorator, and she filled our house with things, objects, furnishings. It was like a furniture store, too, you know. And so it was putting up decorations every holiday and then having to take them down. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of got tired of all that, so I became a minimalist. And my collection of Marilyn Monroe started when somebody gave me a calendar. I always loved her as a little girl growing up, and I couldn't throw the calendar away. So I'd cut the pictures out and started wallpaper. And about 9 years later, nine calendars later, my walls are filled with Marilyn Monroe wallpaper, and Randy has added some art. And when Randy, he's the one that's really the collector.
Okay.
I have a few collections, chickens, yeah, a she shed, and Marilyn. When he came into my life, I just hopped along on the ride.
Love it. And talk to me, Randy, about creativity. Sounds like music. Was music always there? Was it painting? Was it art? Like, how are you creative at that kind of, you know,
music,
formal time?
Music was
of your
with
life?
Me from a very young age. Mm-hmm. It came naturally to me. I started playing the guitar when I was 6 years old, and played the piano probably when I was nine, and I've never stopped doing that. But always inside me, I knew that there was the other artist side, but I had never really tried to be a media artist. Now, I had a great appreciation of fine art from living in all of these foreign countries and seeing some of the world's finest examples of art all over the place in person. So that gave me an appreciation for the fine art part. I married a girl when I was a real young guy. She was an art historian, and her first job was a curator at the Dallas Museum of Art. And she got me a job as a gallery worker for the Dallas Museum of Art. We had the Phillips collection come through that summer, and I was one of the guys that got to uncrate Renoir's Luncheon of the Boating Party and hang it on the wall. It was kind of almost a godlike moment. You know, when you're standing in front of a priceless masterpiece and no one else is there and your nose is an inch away from it. It was pretty intense. Well, I was still in school at that time, and she made me go take art history and art appreciation courses as electives, so I would know what she was all about. We didn't last very long, but last year I was laying in bed Sunday morning watching TV, and she came on CBS Sunday morning. She's one of the head curators of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's another place I got inspiration. So I always knew that I could do it. I just knew that I needed to sit down and do it to be able to prove that to myself. And finally, one day, I'd say probably around age 30, I decided I was going to paint something. And it came out pretty good. And I kept working on different things. I'm a sandstone sculptor. Started sculpting sandstone, and it came out really well. And I said, I like to surround myself with things that make me feel happy, productive, and creative.
Let me click on that just for a second, too, because you said, and maybe this is like advice for people listening almost, but you were like, I just needed to sit down and do it. And I feel there's a lot of people like that. I feel, you know, my wife, Shelley, doesn't have time, but when she does sit down to paint and like actually takes the time and is like, Sunday afternoon, I'm going to bring everything out and like just paint, you know, whatever I feel like. You see amazing stuff come out of that. And it's so interesting because how many people out there listening have that bug, but they never actually like sit down and make time to do it or to express themselves. So talk to me just a little bit about that. I find that super interesting.
Well, one of the things that I hear from people all the time is, we don't have time to do that. I don't have enough time to do that. I've got too much else going on. I don't have time. I personally believe a person can make time to do anything that they want to do if it's important enough to them to do it.
Amen.
You know, and so it's just like, you don't want to take the time to do it.
That's right.
Get down and do it. But success breeds success. And so once you've done something and it comes out well, you get a compliment. One of the first sculptures I ever made, as soon as I finished it, somebody bought it for $300. That made me want to keep on doing that. But I have so many interests that I don't have enough time to do them all.
So, Sandy, talk to me a little bit about how you guys met and what's the story there?
Well, we met online at plentyoffish.com.
Very cool.
And he reeled me in after only being online for 4 months. I had been online on and off for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm very picky. And we met. He looked at my profile. I looked at his. He seemed like an interesting guy. And so we started chatting back and forth. And that didn't go very long. Randy says, here's my number. Let's just talk. So he said, call me at this day tomorrow. And so we called and we set up a first date. And I found out his name was Randy. My brother's name is Randy. My stepbrother's name is Randy.
Oh, my gosh.
And we met on my brother Randy's birthday, July 9th. And I thought, well, this guy's a keeper. I like the way it sounds.
Yeah.
Randy and Sandy. Oh, and one funny thing. I would go on the line before I met him, just a few hours later or a day later, and he would see me online. And he says, well, we have a date. What are you doing online? I said, I haven't met you yet.
He's eager there. And talk to me about, you had this kind of Marilyn Monroe collection maybe at the time. I'm sure he was collecting things. Did you end up going to each other's houses and seeing that you both had these interesting collections, or did that not happen?
Well, I lived alone in a nice minimalist apartment.
Sure.
And he lived with a roommate, so we spent most of our time at my apartment. Mm. And I did have the Marilyn Monroe wallpaper started at that time.
Cool.
Well, that was about the only thing on my walls. And we decided to move in after only 3 months because he was always there. And I said,
need to move into my house.
I said, if you're always going to be here, why don't you move in and help me pay the rent? And so he says, okay, do you mind if I bring a few things over? And I just about died. I came home from work and it started with the bottle collection. And before you know it, our apartment was a massive collection of all his things. And I kind of liked it.
Oh, that's good. Because that can go the other way, too, right?
Yeah.
That could go like, "What? This is stressing me out. What is all this stuff?"
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
So we lived there 3 years. And when we bought the house, we got movers. And they came at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they were finished at 8:30 that night.
Mm.
And they said, well, this is the first time we've ever moved rocks.
Is there a rock collection? I don't. Where's
I'm
that?
A big rock and mineral collector.
Okay, I got you.
I've been doing that for a long time. I love to get in the creeks in Texas and hunt for fossils, and arrowheads, and things like that. I've been collecting rocks since I was about 10 years old, I guess.
And yeah,
I had some massive rock collections but I have a piece of sandstone. It's probably 150 pounds.
Oh my gosh!
Probably 3 feet long and a foot thick. And this thing is, it's beautiful. And I've been waiting to carve my masterpiece on it, but I haven't really attacked it yet. I've messed around a little bit, and I've towed it around for about 7 years. I've done a lot of smaller stuff, but I haven't done that big.
I know it. I know you. I know it'll happen.
You're listening to the Weird Homes Podcast.
This episode of the Weird Homes Podcast is brought to you by Austin Energy's Solar Incentives Program. Austin Energy's Solar Education Portal teaches you how solar energy can power your home. It's a great way to start the solar process if you don't know where to begin. You can also find thousands of dollars in rebates and a guide to help customers through the installation process. To find out more about how you can optimize your home's energy, go to austinenergy.com/go/solar101.
And so you guys move in, you start to like put this stuff together, figure out where everything's going, what that looks like. And is that a process of like you write that on a piece of paper and you sketch it, or things just start to happen in the house? If you want to talk a little about that.
Well, being that it's a 1976 home,
mm-hmm.
the closets are like 4 feet by 2 feet.
Yeah.
And so we agreed that I could have my own bedroom as a closet. And, so I got these clothing racks and turned it into my closet.
Mm.
And then we have a spare bedroom.
Talk about the house. You know, talk us through this house.
I decided I was going to buy a house. We lived together. We weren't married. So I started looking around for a house. Sandy was looking around with me. And my whole goal was to find a house that had a room that I could turn into a music studio, rehearsal studio, recording studio. I needed that space.
Love
and
it.
The house we found is just fit the bill. I loved it from day one, and we bought it. It's ready to go, and so we moved in. And I started with one room, and their music stuff goes in here, and museum stuff goes in here, and we just started. It was a total work in progress, and still is, and probably always will be.
Yeah. How do you guys know what goes where, and like, is there a theme? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
It's kind of a joint effort, but mostly Randy is the person that knows where to hang things. And he started the whole chicken coop thing because I fell in love with this feral chicken that laid eggs in our front planter.
And in your neighborhood, there was a feral chicken just wandering around?
Just wandering. And he saw me dote over that chicken and just fall and just always talking about the chicken. And he... He comes home on Valentine's Day with six baby chicks.
Oh, my gosh.
And a box and a heat lamp. And I didn't know anything about raising chickens. So I all of a sudden go online.
Yeah,
and
YouTube videos.
Researching all kinds of chicken owners.
Chicken podcasts.
Chicken blogs.
Chicken blogs.
Anyway, I said, we have to buy a coop because they're going to get big pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it started as the one-story coop. And then it started with six chickens. And then... We had some of them died out 1 year because they wouldn't stay in the backyard. Mm. They'd sleep in the trees out front. And so we lost a few from Fox. And so then every time I go to Callahan's, I'd pick up more baby chicks. And I'm now grounded from Callahan's. but at one point, I had six baby chicks in the house in a brooder. I had four baby chicks out back in a baby cage. And I had some older chicks that I brought home, and they were in the baby cage within the coop. And then the big ones outside.
Wow.
That was getting a little out of hand.
Yeah. How many do you have right now?
Right now, 12.
12. And talk to me about this coop, because I remember before, and then I came this year, and it's kind of radically expanded.
That. Well, I started getting suffocated out of the home, being that I'm a minimalist.
Mm.
And so he threatened to put my chicken strollers in the upstairs attic.
Now, you're going to have to explain, because I don't think people know what a chicken stroller is.
It's a dog stroller, but I put chickens in it, and I walk them down the street.
And is there a difference between a baby stroller and a dog stroller? I don't even know that there is a thing as a dog stroller.
There is, and it has a nice mesh that you can zip so they can't get out.
There you go.
You can put them in jail while they're going for their walk.
I got you.
So when he said he had to get those strollers, I have two of them, off the back porch, I said, well, then I need a storage shed.
Yeah.
So I went to Tough Shed, and I bought this shed. 10 by 16, 10 by 12 on the inside and 4 foot porch. Well, then I didn't get to store anything in there because it turned into a she shed.
Yeah. So now I think we're familiar with man caves. We're familiar with like women caves, maybe like inside the house. But what is a she shed? Explain that to folks listening.
It's a detached little, small little room that only the girl can decorate. And and believe me, it's a very minimal.
We've been there. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Now, I went over the top with the velvet drapes to go with my Gone with the Wind plate collection. And it was Randy's idea. I let him have that idea because Scarlett says, Mammy, pulls the drapes down and says, make me a dress. And so I thought, what a great idea.
Yeah.
And so I can go in there and I hold cord in there. People can say anything they want, and
we can make you a dress.
I'm not going to remember what they say. So then, when I still had to have stuff to place to store things, mm-hmm. So I went back to Tough Shed and I said, "Oh, I need another building." And
they said, "Yes, please."
So I got an 8x8, I think, and that actually stores our camping gear, my chicken strollers, my chicken feed, and where I can access them.
And then tell me about that's the she shed. The storage, and then also in your backyard, you guys have just this amazing chicken coop. So is that Tough Shed? Is that built out of...
That's custom made.
Found wood from the beach in the Gulf of Mexico?
Is she bought a little one-story coop.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty cool, but it was way too small. Mm-hmm. So we just decided to... I have a crew of wonderful people that work for me in my real estate business.
Oh, cool.
And so we're able to do whatever we need to do, you know, building wise. And we decided we're going to expand the existing coop. So we just jacked it up into the air and made it a big two story unit with a walk in door.
Yeah. I've seen it.
And I decided to name it Coop DeVille. So
nice.
So there it is.
And how many chickens did you say again?
I have 12.
12. And then how much, just for people listening, how many eggs is that?
Oh, right now it's a high egg laying time, and I'm getting 6 to 8 a day.
Wow. Chicken or total?
Oh, they lay about every other day.
Okay.
So that's, you get half of them lay.
And then the other half.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll get everybody laid.
But believe me, we always have quote. A lot of eggs. Like
we just gave
several
away.
Several dozen. We gave away about 4 or 5 dozen.
I love it.
This week.
That's awesome. And now, Sandy, walk me through other parts of the house. Like, just name some of your favorite stuff in the house.
My favorite place is now the porch on my she shed, but into the house. The back porch we had screened in, so I like being out there because I can watch the chickens. I love sitting in our living room. Mm-hmm. I call it the museum. Mm-hmm. It's a visiting room. There's no TV, and you can just sit and visit. And with no distractions, or I can talk on the phone, give my mom a call every other day, and I just love being in there.
And tell me, why is it the museum? What's going on in there? Describe it a little bit.
It's got all of Randy's collections. Mm. I have a shelf, and it's full of shot glasses. That's my only collection in the museum. The art, I started with one picture, and Randy, he goes and finds things that match. Anyway, he goes and finds all these other pictures of the lady and the man dancing on the beach with the umbrella and different, always the red dress, always.
It's the same artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to find things at thrift stores, mm-hmm. and garage sales and estate sales, wherever I can.
And Randy, tell me, what are your favorite things in the house?
Oh, I have a lot.
Yeah, maybe your top five.
Probably... My jam room is, mm-hmm. is my favorite, where all my guitars are, where we make music and play. It's the ultimate man cave. I mean, it really is. The thing I'm proud of is my saltwater reef tank, my aquarium. I have a really nice saltwater reef. It's amazing. Very interesting hobby, very dedicated to, it's a science project. Mm. You know, it's, you better be into your chemistry and everything else. But when I leave here today, I'm going to go do a 40-gallon water change. In
that day. Wow.
And that's only a third of it. So.
And Sandy, tell me a little bit, just some advice for people, right? They're out there, they're listening to this. They say, I really want to do something with my home, but I don't know where to start, right? I love red and I love black, or... I have a collection of things from when I lived overseas, but it's just, I think for most people, it's just in a closet somewhere, which sucks, right? Like, and you know, I think there's a lot of people, we talk about this a lot with our homeowners, that are nowadays, they're kind of scared. They're like, well, I'm only living this house 6 years, so I don't want to do a lot with it because then I want to sell it. And they just have these kind of weird attitudes about it. And you guys have said, hey, you know what? Even if we didn't live here, we would take a lot of this stuff with us, and it's okay. And we're decorating, we're having fun. I think of you two, and I think how happy, creative, and like what nice people you both are. So just talk to me, give some advice to those people out there who don't want to live in a beige box.
Well, I think for me, it starts with a few of your favorite things, and you grow on that. And so I always liked movie stars and Hollywood, because I grew up in Southern California, right near Hollywood. And so then you just, when you're out and about, you see things that, oh, that would go with that. And it's a process of where you evolve. And it's not something you can go and just say, I want that, 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 and that, and then put it all up. It's a process.
I love that. The evolving over time. Same for you. You know, what's that advice to those people out there who are like, want to change, but they're scared?
So you're sitting here going, you know, I want something different. First of all, you cannot keep doing the same thing over and over and get anything different. So you're going to have to think or set yourself ready to think out of the box. Now, I know it's scary sometimes. So what does that really look like? Well, if you're, just say you're going to, you would like to change your space. The first thing you do is imagine it empty. Well, let's get your paint out and let's paint the walls, but let's don't be traditional white walls and white baseboards and white ceiling. Sure, it makes it look more roomy, but we need some color in there. So
amen.
I like to experiment with bright colors. So in my living room, for example, I have like circus peanut orange wall, you know, but they're just accent walls. I use some maroon in there. And then, you know, it's a light color everywhere else. But I have a really good eye for put colors together. And then you have to just try it. Paint your baseboards differently. I just finished the laundry room concrete floor. And it's now silver. And then all of the air intake ducts, they're all chrome now. You know, it's just like, they look industrial.
Yeah.
You know, and so I never thought of that. And so what I do is just... For example, you want to collect something. What are you passionate about? What do you like? Just find an object and start going around looking for them. One thing I do when I collect is I look for odd things that could be worth more money than I'm paying for. So that, you know, if it all comes down, I can sell the museum and probably, you know, go on down the road, no problem.
I love it.
When I find weird things or one-of-a-kind things, I jump on them. And then occasionally I find things that you just never could imagine that you find, and they don't cost hardly anything at all. I found an album by the Reverend Jim Jones.
Yes, it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, he actually signed it.
That's crazy.
I know. And it says, Jesus loves you, and oh I love gosh. You, Jim. I'm just like... Goosebumps go up on your arm. Your hair stands up on the back of your neck when you check that out.
So creepy and wonderful all at once, too. So I heard the advice there on creativity and inspiration is evolve over time, which I really dig. And then also, hey, you know, get that paint out and change something. And color, I think, has a vibration and an energy and, to your point, think through what goes with what over time. And then also I heard a little bit of when you see something, grab it, because, you know, it might not be there when you just think about it and go three aisles over and come back. Right?
If I agree. Your eye, if your furniture is boring, well, get spray paint. Paint it.
Love it.
Change the doorknob. Change the drawer pulls. You know, my bathroom is a black light bathroom when you walk in. That's why this is called the OMG house.
Right.
Because people walk in, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh my God. You know, and they're like, and I'm just standing there listening.
We set a guest book out, and I counted 800 signatures.
Wow.
But I know more people than that came, because not everybody signed the guest book.
That's amazing.
And so we really trust people. They're going in my closet.
Are they writing notes next to the...
Some of them did.
Oh, that's very cool. I'm going to steal that idea. I think all of our homeowners should do that. Thank you guys so much for the time. I will let you... So tell me maybe some words of advice or something that you want to promote. Sounds like you might have a discount code to the Rough Shed people since you're getting so many of them. Just tell me a little like end of advice or something that you want to promote.
Well, we have a new venture. We just sent to the city of Austin. We're applying for a license to have an Airbnb. And it's going to be one where it's owner-occupied.
Yep.
I recently retired, and I was a bookkeeper for years. And so now I don't have anything to do, and I'm not real creative. And so...
I disagree, but go. Please
so
continue.
We're going to rent our upstairs out.
Cool.
They can have the bathroom, the bedroom. They can use the kitchen. I'll be there. I'll order a Uber for them. I'll pick them up from the airport.
Nice.
I'll cook for them if they want me to. And if they want to use the she shed to have private conversation,
yeah,
they can have it.
Oh, nice.
So this is a new little venture we have going on because we do trust people. I thought if we let 1,000 people in our house, how would I be afraid of someone that's vetted?
Yeah, I thought, hey, musicians coming in town for South By might really like to come hang out where there's a studio.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, our neighborhood is so cool, they want us to play music live. And so anytime we break out the band or whatever, the neighbors break out the lawn chairs and the wine, sit around and don't stop.
So, Randy, tell me last piece of advice and then something that, you know, you're looking to promote.
Okay, well, my advice is this. Don't live a boring life that you're always wishing something was different. Just go for it. Figure out that if you're not happy with what you got, you can do it, and you don't need somebody to tell you how to do it. Just decide you're going to and go for it. And you'll get a success, and it will breed more, and you can start a lifetime of not following suit with everybody else. And so that's that.
Love it. Promote, tell me a little bit about your band. Where can people find more information about your music and your art?
I play with a band called Hourglass. You can find our Facebook page at Hourglass ATX. We're an acoustic rock trio. We do covers, but we do them well. We're big into harmony vocals, and so we've gotten popular pretty fast. Only been together since last September, but we're working a lot. We always have a good time out there.
Awesome. Well, Randy and Sandy, thank you guys very much for being on today. I think you talked a lot about what inspires you, kind of all of these influences, including engineering and art museums and Marilyn Monroe and Southern California, all of this mixed into just one amazing couple and one beautiful house. And again, you know, the whole point of this is design inspiration, and I think you guys provided that in spades today. So thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, David.
We'd love for you today to go check out our website at weirdhomestour.com. You can find the new coffee table book that features all the homes that you're hearing about on the podcast. We'd also love for you to check out our Instagram, Weird Homes Tour. And finally, really, we want this podcast to inspire you to show that design has no boundaries and that we would rather have neighbors be strange than be strangers.